if you can, Harry, Bailey. Prepare that song one more time, Bailey, that you did in the beginning, please. Let's all recollect where we come from in this world and where Christ, through his blood, has changed us and given us eternal life. Listen to the words of this song by my sister Bailey. Listen to the words. Let's reflect where we came from years ago and how the blood of Christ forgave us all our sins, cleansed us, and called us children of God. Listen to these words carefully. You hit it, Bailey. Hallelujah. Worship you. Yes, you did.
Into glorious light.
I don't forget that day, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll never forget that day when you called me out of spiritual death into life. I cried for 3 days, Lord. You saved me and found me where I was. So lost. So lost. You came by your grace. Your mercy, and you took me as I was. You took me as I was. But pathetic. You forgave me all my sin. You gave me your spirit and called me your own. May I be as they, Lord, that love not their life till the death, Lord. Your grace, Abba, to be as they that love not their life till the death. Worship team, you can sit. Worship team, you can. Harry, just play with me a little bit. Allow me before we go on break and embrace each other. Didn't Betty do a great job? I could hear her again. The whole worship team did. Allow me a little bit. I don't think we reflect enough where we come from. I know I got some friends in here that I grew up with. Kathy brought us from a lot, didn't he, Kathy? A lot. And forgave us much. Whew. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Allow me a little bit. I remember clearly I lived in a house of stilts years ago. My wife then had my daughter, which would be her stepdaughter, Priscilla, from a prior engagement that I had before I was married. Getting real tired of me after a whopping 1 year of marriage. She looked at me, I remember. Said, Homer, you know when your wife calls your name, you know you're in trouble. You'll say honey or Homer. Oh, God. She looked at me that day, mad. Homer, make up your mind now. It can be the drugs or your family. I wanted to say, can I have one more week to decide? That moment, my life, I began to notice, I think she's getting tired of me. And a few weeks later, the Russian roulette incident, where I should have had my head blown off. And then that night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And he restored my marriage with my wife. And after 30 years, I've been married, or 30, how many years, baby? That's what I said, 33, right? For 33 years of marriage. That's what I said, right, Robert? Thank you, Robert. I'm glad Robert heard me correctly. 33 years of marriage, I'm still so in love. I'm in debt to him for the rest of my life. I never thought I could be forgiven so much. I never thought I'd be at the same church for 30 years. Christ in us is the greatest miracle that we can ever experience. He can restore your life, fix your marriage instantaneously. Instantaneously he can, by the power of the rebirth. Woke up this morning. I didn't study whatsoever for today. I woke up at 4:50 exactly. A sip of coffee. And just began to worship God. Pray in the Spirit. Didn't hear my Bible. Didn't do nothing. I don't think he wanted me to. Just shoot from the heart. We're going gospel fishing today. We're throwing a net out there today. Recommitment, salvation to God. God is for real. So is Satan. I'm 57 years old. I know I shouldn't use the word homeboy, but I'm going to use the word homeboy. Willie Pena, 1985, class of deceased, my old homeboy. Gabriel Nunez, class 1985, my old homeboy, deceased. Jose Izaguirre, 1985, my old homeboy, deceased. Ramiro Rodriguez, my old homeboy that I used to run the streets with, deceased. As of late, a week ago, Pete Garza, deceased. A young man was part of this church. Deceased. When I heard about P.D. Garza, I went to a funeral last week at the Catholic Church. I didn't know he was sick. They said, you know, P.D.'s dying of cancer. I said, no, man, I didn't know. But my heart was alert immediately. We used to run the street together, and we used to do a lot of dirt together. Cocaine, etc. And I knew unless something recently happened that he didn't know Christ. So I said to myself, I gotta preach Jesus Christ to him. I reached out to him, called his brother. I said, what's Petey's number, man? He go home, I'll tell him you're looking for him. I said, no, give me his number. I got to call him. Called him once. Called him twice. I said, man, me and Pete used to be tight in our days. I know I see him every once in a while. Three times. Then my wife walks in the room. She says, do you know Petey is Jayla's cousin? Jayla is David's wife. My daughter-in-law. I said, no, I didn't know. Well, she said, well, Petey just died. And my heart broke, you know why? I never got to tell him about Jesus Christ. All my other homeboys that died, I partied with, I never shared Christ with them. Never. I tried to get to Petey. I even felt something tell me, drive to Lehigh and find him. But I ignored the voice. And he died. So many people are dying way too early. Way too early. We got to pray for our families, for each other. We got to share the gospel of simplicity. You don't have to beat everybody up with the Bible. Just a testimony. An invitation to church. More than anything, live as the church. My point is this. See, Eric passed away, but he knew the ways of God. My other friends, they didn't. And I shrug when I hear someone dying. I say, what did they wake up to? What did they wake up to? Did they wake up in glory? Or did they wake up in a state of shock? Where the worm does not cease. All because the church is not sharing our faith. When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? When? It broke my heart, man. Everywhere I go, people are sick, dying way too early. It makes me sick to my stomach. We are supposed to be the light of the earth. We are supposed to bring light and healing to the nations in the name of our God. We are. But the church really can't even get along. Much less, yes, I believe in kingdom outpouring. Yes, I do. But the love of God is calling us to a deep place of fellowship with Him. Real quick before we go on a break, we had dinner the other day, me, my wife, and some friends. That we met on a Monday. Listen to me carefully. One of them, good friend, I'm not going to say her name. She's here, I think. She's here, sweetheart. Wonderful person. Two of them. And one of them is a Muslim. And she said, I didn't want to say it out loud. I don't want people not to like me. Well, at this church, we don't just like you. We love you. Muslim, transgender, homosexual. We love you. You're welcome to the door of the kingdom. And you repent, you go in through the door. Christ will take you as you are. As you are. He took me addicted to crack, addicted to pornography. He took me, molded me, and mended me into His image. She said, I didn't want to say I was a Muslim out loud. And she's right, because most Americans hear Muslim and we think of fear and terrorists and jihad. She educated me so much, did my friend. She said, I'm Muslim, but she said, I have an open heart. Wonderful lady. And she's here today. The kingdom of God. We've made it so much in this world about Democrat versus Republican. No, man, it's not Democrat versus Republican. You got sinners. You got saints and unbelievers in this world. You got two people, Christians and non-Christians. It's not Democrat versus Republicans. It's Christians and non-Christians. Us Christians are to be a shining light to the non-believers. We're to shine through love. Hate the Muslim? Give me a break. That's not in our gospel. Amen. Hate the transgender? That's not in our gospel. Amen. Hate the homosexual? That is not in our gospel. Yes, love is in our gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But once you come into the kingdom, if there's true repentance, there is a change. Yes. I don't preach a Mickey Mouse gospel. They're all welcome to this church to encounter Christ. All of them. all of them. It's our love to love them, not just a humanistic kind of love, but an agape love. A-G-A-P-E. A-G-A-P-E is the love of God. Where we lay down our life for the world. Muslim? So what? We introduce to you the kingdom of God. Christ Jesus and Him crucified. So many people are dying without Christ in their heart, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. This country is so divided. We're so divided. I'm going to say things today that's going to challenge some of your doctrine, Christians. And I heard a man say this before we go on break, about a year or two ago, I don't know how long ago, he said, what I say today is going to ruffle some feathers. But if you're not a chicken, don't worry about it. Makes sense on this game. I'm going to say doctrine wise, it's going to ruffle your doctrine, ruffle your feathers. But if you ain't a chicken, don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. Have an ear to hear today. Open your heart and your eyes. God visited me yesterday for about 4 hours in therapy. I cried for 4 hours. 4 hours I cried. People thought I was going crazy in treatment. Are you okay? I'm fine. Leave me alone. Got home from treatment. Very, very exhausted. Called Miss Gay. Somebody needs some help at the end of the service. I tried to talk the best that I could, Miss Gay. Did you understand what I said yesterday? Yeah, he understood. Tired, but I slept 9 hours. I never sleep 9 hours. I went to bed by 9 o'clock, right, sweetheart? By 9 o'clock, that's a... I need to go to bed at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I wake up at 3 or 4, I go on 4 hours sleep, but I slept 9 hours yesterday. I can go off 3 or 4 hours sleep. There's no problem. Maybe I'm a night owl. I don't know. Maybe I'm not human. Well, really, I have a spiritual DNA, so really I'm not. But saying all that, I say this. We're going to have a blessed time today. I promise you it's going to be, I think, Love Never Hurts, part two. I think I didn't prepare. I got up this morning. I just worshiped God. Just prayed in the spirit and just listened. But we are going to, I promise it's going to be in love. And if you have ears to hear, you understand. And hopefully there'll be repentance in the house of God. Because we've missed the gospel of the kingdom. In the corporate church of Christ, we've missed the gospel. Hallelujah. I tell you, don't be a chicken today. Just receive. Just receive. Of course, you know, Pastor Bronk's not here. And he might not be here next Sunday because the plane... They had a cancellation of the plane. They had a drive to Gatlinburg. Did I say that right? Yes. They had a drive over there, and they're having to drive back. So I think he's going to... I think we talked yesterday or the day before. And he said, you might have to do it next Sunday. Can you handle it? I said, no, Pastor Bronk, I can't handle it. No. So he might be gone next Sunday, but he is on vacation. And I'm going to say Pastor Brock doesn't have to go on vacation to recollect his thoughts. He just goes to spend time with his family. So he ain't going to gather himself to recollect his thoughts, to refresh himself. No, 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 no. You refresh yourself every day in Christ Jesus. Period. So he should be back next, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't talked to him. He did text me this morning. But I think he will be gone next Sunday again. And we got to come out next Wednesday and support Harry. He paid me $50 to say that. I want it all in ones, Harry. So come out this Wednesday, please, please, to hear the word of God. Regardless of who teaches it, male, female, just come out and support this Wednesday. Come out and support Harry. I know I'll be here. Amen. We're going to be here. So saying all that, we had a, and I beg you to listen. I beg you to listen. I beg you. It's going to be an evangelistic message somewhat. But it's also going to be to the body of Christ. Because you know the gospel isn't about us. Go ahead, Harry. It's about him and us. Our text is going to be 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 again. And I'm going to read a little bit of the text, and then I'm going to start from the beginning. I don't know how far I'm going to go, but I'm going to start at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "Beloved." There's so much in that word, beloved. And I don't think the body of Christ knows what that word means. Listen to what John said. Listen carefully. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." He said, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." He said, "In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, his love is perfected in us." Listen to what he said. He said, "Beloved, beloved." The word means to be greatly loved. By who? By God. In the kingdom of God, hear me out on this, and I'm not getting political at all. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. Hear me out on entitlements. I'm not talking welfare, food stamps. I'm not talking about that. Some people need that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. Some people need it for a short time in their life. Don't talk so much without knowing facts sometimes. But in the kingdom of God, there are no entitlements. Because we are the beloved. We are greatly loved by God, demonstrated through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are not one entitlement or one attachment when it comes to the word love. He said, beloved, let us love one another. That word love is a Greek word, agape. It means to love whether I'm loved back. I forgive whether you forgive me or not. I'm compassionate towards you whether you hate me or not. It doesn't change him in me. If my wife cheats on me and my life falls apart, it's not her fault, it's my fault. It's never anybody's fault in the kingdom of God. Never, never. We're beloved. There are no entitlements. There are no attachments to the word love. Luke 6, a sermon on the plain. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend. Listen, hoping for nothing in return. Love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Nothing. Not enemies that you've made because you can't stand them. Enemies that hate you because of your faith in Christ. Because you're living in Christ. Not because you offended them. A mature Christian, never needs an apology. But a mature Christian always apologizes. A mature Christian doesn't need an apology. If you need an apology, you're not mature. And a mature Christian gives an apology. And if you don't apologize, then you're immature. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of God. There's no attachment to the word agape. That is the God kind of love. The church has forgotten 10 spectacular words uttered by our Savior on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The whole ought and unforgiveness towards someone. Be real careful. You know what kind of unforgiveness is the scariest? When you have ought somebody and you can hug them and smile, that's dangerous for you. That's very, because you're hiding it, but your heart's burning inside. In the kingdom of God, there are no entitlements. You don't have the right all to not forgive. There are no entitlements or attachments to the word love in God's kingdom. None whatsoever. See, beloved, let us agape one another. He said, love unconditionally. I want you to love me, but if you don't love me, it doesn't change my love towards you. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is truth. That will ruffle some feathers. But if it did, then you're testifying that you are a chicken. A mature Christian does not need an apology. But a mature Christian will offer it when they offend. Are you with me on that? If you need one, then you're very immature still. He said, beloved, let us love one another. Not the word phileo, not a humanistic kind of love. This is a godly love. A love that lays down its life for his neighbor. A love that will preach the truth. A love that loves evil people. We don't like evil, but we love people. That's the love of the kingdom. my Muslim friend said, I didn't want to say Muslim out loud in your church. She's a Muslim, and she's loved by Almighty God. And today we introduce Christ Jesus to her again. And beloved, let us love one another. Let us agape one, not a humanistic love, not I'm going to love you if you treat me right. No, no, no. That's not the God kind of love. Treat me how you want to treat me. My disposition towards you is never to change. Beloved, greatly loved, Homer, Sarah, Kathy, love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. That word know is a very intimate word. Very intimate word. There's a lot of born again believers that don't walk in love. The next verse, he who does not agape does not know God. For God is love. God is agape. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Be real careful. Well, you make fun of. Be real careful what you watch and what you like on Facebook. That like that you checked, you're approving of a negative post. I hear so many, I watch certain people on the news, so many people making fun of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Donald Trump, make fun of them. So-called Christians make fun of Mr. Biden because he has dementia. That's sickening, church. That's sickening. Making fun of Kamala Harris, making fun of Mr. Trump. Christians. Those that are you making fun of are ones that God called into the kingdom of God. He wants to give them repentance. He said, if you don't love, you don't know God. He didn't say you weren't born again. He just said, he who does not love, he who does not agape, does not know God. For God is love. Listen to me carefully. He said, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. The love of God was manifested toward us. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, if someone is going to manifest the love of God to the world, that person must be born again. Let me ask you a question. Q&A. Could the prophets in the old covenant demonstrate the love of God? No, sir. They could not. Why? They were not born again. So the Christ came as the firstborn to manifest the love of God. He said, and this is the love of God manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent Christ to die for the man addicted to pornography, for the crackhead, for the transgender, for the homosexual. Christ came into the world to grant you repentance to the adulterer, to the fornicator, to him who cheats on their taxes. You know what I'm talking about, to the sinner. He came to redeem the sinner with his blood. But this is the catch here. He said, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He said, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Another word for propitiation is he sent Christ to be the sacrificial lamb for our sins. Listen carefully now. He sent Christ into the world, the firstborn of the Father. Christ was born spiritually alive. But he was asked of the Father, Son, not verbatim. For 33 years, you're going to have to live a holy life, undefiled, no sin. Christ went out, born of God, but the catch is that he that's born of God and knows God. It wasn't enough for Christ just to go out into the world born again. He had to know God. How else can you give your life to be slaughtered? To hang on a cross? To go to Hades and rise from spiritual death to give us life? You better know that you know your God when you're asked to commit your life as a slaughter to mankind to redeem us. See, the body of Christ, we still hold on to entitlements. We think it's about us. No, it's about how we treat people. Homie, you don't know what they said. You don't know what she did. You don't know what he did. No, I don't. And I'm sure it hurt. But friend, I don't know what they did to you. But guess what, friend? You don't know what he did for you. He being the Christ. You know what my husband said? You know what my wife said? No, I don't. But you, my friend, don't know what he did for you. He washed you clean. He sanctified your spirit. He took my sin and my sickness so that we would be redeemed. This is a sad statement here. I've never, ever, ever, or myself counseled anybody based on them being persecuted. Home, I got to talk to you. I'm at work and they're persecuting me because of my faith. Never. But every time that I counsel somebody, here's where the church has missed it. It's always about what somebody else did to them. And it's a shame to counsel a Christian based on a sinner offending them. Sinners offend. That's what they do. Every single counseling session I've ever done or gone, I haven't gone to Pastor Bronk in years, but people have said stuff to me. I let it go. But every counseling session I've ever done, it's about somebody saying something about somebody. I understand it hurt. But saints of God, with that kind of mentality, we just don't quite understand what he did for us. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of God. None. There's never a reason to take an offense. Not one counseling session have I ever done with anybody based on persecution. It's all based on he said, she said, they said. That's missing the true call of the gospel. That's a self-centered life. He said, beloved, let us agape one another. For lovers of God, if one that loves is born of God, and knows God. Christ came into the world born again. But out of that born again experience, he had to really know God if he's going to allow himself to be slaughtered on the scourging post. He had to really know God in intimacy to hang on a cross. And then, this is what the church does not talk about. And I don't care who gets mad at me. In Acts chapter 2, Luke records Simon Peter saying this. This might blow out some of your theology out of the road. Luke said, "You, by wicked hands," Acts 2, "you have killed, you have crucified and killed him." Listen, Luke records the words of Simon Peter, Acts chapter 2. "You by wicked hands have crucified and put to death whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. For if not possible, you should be held by it." If you're crucified and you die, is it over? It's not a trick question. If you're crucified and die, is it over? It's over. The Bible says you crucified him and you killed him, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. If he was dead, then how were there pains of death still in his body? That word pains of death means intolerable pain that he was in. Not to go into it too deep, ladies and gentlemen, Christ Jesus was crucified, killed, and make no mistake, the sacrificial lamb. No one has ever loved you like this. As his punishment for taking on my sin and your sin, Acts said he rose from the dead in Hades. Hades is hell. That's the place where people that do not believe in Christ go. But Christ provided a way, an escape through his blood. Christ, because he took on our pain, our sin, Christ for a brief moment, read it, he said, whom God raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death. For it was not possible he should be held by it. Held by what? The pains of death. Our Lord and Savior went to hell for a brief moment to take on our punishment. And we want to talk about each other in the kingdom of God when Christ died for the one that you have ought against. Christ died for the man or woman that you have unforgiveness towards. Christ died for the homosexual you make fun of. Christ died for the transgender you make fun of. Christ died for President Biden, for President Trump, and you make fun of him. Beloved, let us agape one another. That word agape is God kind of love. That means ex-husbands, love your ex-wives. Ex-wives, love your ex-husbands. Does he have to hang around them all the time? And to love is to keep the commandments of God, my friends. Make no mistake, the agape of God is we keep his commandments. Christ was a sacrificial lamb for us. He took on our pain, our agony, scourged, beaten on our behalf, so that his life would be in us, that we would be the salt of the world. we're called to love no matter what. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of God. If you got to say, I forgive this person, but you don't forgive them. I don't have aught against this person, but be quiet. You gave yourself away. No, you don't. You have aught. There was a tremendous price paid for our redemption. Everyone I counsel, it's always on what somebody did to me. I know it hurts. But sooner or later, I have to grow up into fatherhood, from childhood, and grow up and have deaf ears and blind eyes. We don't even hear the offense. That's the kingdom of God. He was a sacrificial lamb. God didn't just wave a magic wand over Christ and said, go do your thing. Christ had to be born of God, and he had to know God intimately to carry out his calling. What was his calling? To die for our sins, to live a holy life 33 years. And to give himself on the scourging post as he hung on the cross like a sinner. He ascended into Hades, rose up to give us eternal life. We must guard our tongues. He said, beloved, let us agape one another, for lovers of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God in an intimate manner. Ladies and gentlemen, born again is wonderful. But out of that born again conversion, there must be a knowing God. And that love that he has us to love with is a love that has no rights, no entitlements, no hatred, no malice. But our mind is focused on the kingdom of God. Life is just way too short. We've all done wrong, even as Christians. But if we know Christ the way we do, we know that he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Saints of God, we can't leave the world confused. They have to know where we live in Christ. We are called. There's only one love in God's kingdom. That's agape love. That's the God kind of love that no matter what you do to me, I'm going to remain focused and keep the commandments of my God. It's quiet for a reason. There's no reason that a Muslim should walk in this church and won't say she's a Muslim with an open mind, because he's scared the saints of God will not treat her right. There's no reason in the world the church has failed. Now, we know one must be born again. We know that, right? She walks in here. She said, I have an open mind. What would you do, my friends? What would you do, Christians, if an open homosexual guy or girl walked in this church? How would you treat him? Would you hug them? Would you shake their hand? Would you sit a chair down from them? Would you embrace him and hug him and say, Jesus Christ loves you? The love of God has no entitlements. The love of God has no attachment. You know, I'm not preaching a broad gospel. What I'm saying is all are welcome to the door of the kingdom. Once you get born again, there is change. If there isn't change, then you weren't serious about your confession. You know what I'm saying, correct? They're all welcome to the door of the kingdom. But to get into the door, one must be born again. Our love walk has to be kingdom. There's a confession that I utter every day, a decree every day that I utter, every morning, two or three, four times a day. And it goes like this. Father, the day that I was born again, I died to self and sin and was made righteous through faith in him. And I'll go on to say, Father, in Christ Jesus, there abides a love in me that can never be hurt. Father, that I would abide in this love and be as they that love not their life to the death. Father, in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my citizenship is now kingdom. My conduct, what I speak and do, is now kingdom. Father, in Jesus Christ, the love of God manifested by him and by his stripes, Lord, we were healed of all manner of sickness and disease. Father, this is the sum total of my life in you. Father, your grace, that I would be as they that love not their life till the death. That is the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, our will is to be eradicated. Malice eradicated. Backbiting, gossip, aught, unforgiveness. That's not kingdom, man. Fix your heart. Fix yourself. Don't wait for an apology. Man up. Woman up. Soldier up. You've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. We are the salt of the earth. He said, Beloved, let us love, saying to the church, love with a God kind of love. Jesus manifested as a human being the love of God. The scourging post, you know what that was? Help me. What was the scourging post? The love of God manifested. The cross was the love of God manifested. Him going to Hades for us was what? The love of God manifested. He did it as a human being. So can we. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It is a commandment to lay down our life. To lay down our life. Every counseling session I've ever done, it's about what they did to me, they said about me. Granted, people shouldn't say certain things, and if you offended somebody, yes, Christ in you, first, you ought to repent and go to the Father. Second of all, then you go to that person. But if they don't go to you and apologize, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change our disposition towards that person because we're born of God. We live out of the hidden person of the heart. Christ is our prototype. We follow his pattern, his calling. Let me tell you, friends, spending time with Christ will change you. How? And the doctor says, I'll never see again. They said, I'm done because of my kidneys. That's a wonderful thought that carries you throughout the day in the back of your mind. But if that's the case, according to the doctor, catch this. If there's anything that you hear, then how am I sustained? How do I have peace and no ought or unforgiveness towards anybody in my heart? Living off Social Security. My wife works like a dog out there. I'm home. You got to tend to me like a child sometimes. But there's joy in my day. When I get up at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning and spend my day in my morning with my Savior. And I live an exciting life, man. I'm not burnt out. I don't feel sorry for myself. I want to see souls born again. I want the love of God to resonate out of me into the world. He said, beloved, Miss Gay, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, he who does not agape, does not know God, for God is love. He didn't say that person wasn't born again. He says that person that's born again and you can't love habitually and you can't keep his word, he said, you don't know God. You just don't. No, you might be born again. You might sing in the choir. You might be a preacher, but you don't know God. The true love of God lays down its life for mankind. The true love of God loves people. All kinds of people. My Muslim friend said, I didn't want to say I was a Muslim out loud. Well, I said you were a Muslim out loud. And friend, you come to the right church. Because to you we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he'll forgive you of all your sin. And wash you with his blood. Beloved, let us love one another. And that love is not a passive love. It's that I'm going to bake you a cake and you'll be all right. No, no. That love is a laying down your life kind of love for the gospel's sake. It couldn't be a fruit of it. I'll invite you to my barbecue, but that's not really the text of it. The text is, will you lay your life down to obey the gospel of the kingdom? That's the love. So quiet in here. Either you're so mad at me or you're so being edified. Amen. I'm just going to use Ms. Gay as a as an example. I want her and Marty to come to me next week and say, Homer, I got to talk to you. We were at this restaurant and we started praying and sharing our faith and they persecuted me. Yes, that's the kind of counseling session I want to give. Yes, that's what I want to counsel somebody about. Amen, Ms. Gay. Did they hit you with whips? No. Dang it, you missed it, Ms. Gay. Paul got hit with whips and worshiped God all night. Don't come to me, Harry and Sarah. Harry and say, Sarah talked about me. No, that's not kingdom, man. That's not kingdom. That's self-centeredness. You can fix that amongst yourselves. This is kingdom. I said, Father, I say this often. My commonwealth is kingdom. How I conduct myself, how I speak, and what I do, it is now kingdom. There's no entitlements in kingdom. There's no attachments in kingdom. In kingdom, there's a love in you that can never be hurt, per the Christ. Yes, we want an outpouring in our little church. Yes, there's more than just words in the kingdom. Yes, there is. But my God, in order to see the kingdom, we must abide in the kingdom. Every single bit of it. There's no such thing as I forgive, but. And Christians, hold your tongue. Just because you know something about somebody and it might be true does not mean you have the right to repeat it. Somebody called me yesterday out of the blues. I said, okay, what do you want from me? Blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. I didn't give them blah, blah, this or blah, blah, that. I gave them the gospel. The gospel is what we live by. Kingdom is what we live by. He said, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. If I agape, keep God's word like Christ kept it, and guess who they see? God. The mercy and grace of God is to be extended by us to the world. Beloved, dearly loved, those of you that Christ died for, beloved, Christ hung on a tree, descended to Hades for a short time, rose again to give you life. He said, beloved, knowing that, beloved, you who Christ died for, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. It's one that agapes is born of God and knows God. If you can't stand somebody, you don't know God. You might be born again, but you do not know him. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, and that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through his blood, through his forgiveness. He manifested the love of God on Calvary. He displayed the love of God to me and you. And that manifestation of what he manifested toward us, we manifest to the world. So what if they talk about us? So what? So what? That our ears would be deaf and our eyes blind to the things of this world. Where all we can see is the love of God for that person. Not passively. We always preach the gospel in context and truth. What the gospel calls evil is evil, friends. But we're never, ever, ever, ever to hate people. Never, never, never to hate people. The gospel can change you. It can change you. And these closing words, when I started about a month or two ago, out of the blues, this confession came to me, Miss Belinda, out of the blues, Lord, that I would be as they that love not their life till the death. I said, my God, where did that come from? Take me there, Lord Jesus. By your grace, through nights of prayer, through fastings, I fast now more than I ever have the last 6-7 months. And it's done wonders to me. I love to get up and worship Jesus on that old rocking chair. Just love it back and forth. You know that I text a lot of you in the morning. I can't get enough. And I'm going to say this. Please don't take it wrong. I can't understand how some Christians still fellowship with a clock. When I did my 2 hours, I'm done. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Or they say, I got my time in. No, friends. You got your time in, but I got to spend time with him. There's a difference. I don't pray 2 hours because and my time's up. No, no. I love to pray in the spirit. I love hearing the psalms. I love sitting in my chair. Father, I worship you. I thank you that 30 years ago you restored my marriage, Lord. The woman that I hated, I love her so much again, Lord. That bullet should have pierced my skull, Lord. But your mercy and grace saved me. Oh, Lord, make me as they that love not their life to the death. That I would abide in the love, Lord, that is never hurt. Praying the Spirit can change you internally. Past hurts have gone away. I had a real hard time with white people. Now, white girls, they were nice. They were pretty. But white guys growing up, I hated real good. I didn't have much love for them based on a Confederate flag one time. For a hard, long time, I had a rough time towards some white people. I hate to say it like that. Because I used to date a white girl. And she couldn't date me because I was brown. And I took that to heart for years. It was just ignorance on my part. Because my pastor's a flat-out redneck, and I love him to death. There's no color in Christ. no color. White people, brown people, black people, Muslim, transgender, we're to love. We're to love. And invite them to the door of the kingdom. And hopefully they'll say this, Father, forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin. Wash me with your blood. We sow seed. Do you know that the church cannot judge a sinner? Did you know that? God judges the sinner. But the church can judge each other. You start claiming Christianity out loud. And I know you're living hypocritical. I have every right, if I'm living clean, to judge your walk. That's the word of God. But I can't judge a sinner. A non-Christian. To them, we present love. We present Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We present to them the salvation of God. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. There's children here, but that word know is a very intimate word. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a very intimate word, husband and wife. You know what I mean by that? That's what it means in the Greek. So if you know God, you really, really know Him per worship, per praise, and per obedience. Most Christians know Him not to a mature extent. If you still walk with aught and unforgiveness, you don't know Him. You might be born of Him, but you don't really know Him. Christ said this, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the ones He forgave are the ones that put Him on the cross. This love, the agape of God, is not humanistic. It's not, I love you if you love me. It's, I love you regardless if you love me. I forgive you regardless if you forgive me. That is the love of God manifested on Calvary. That love is a walk, a love that's only lived out as we deny ourselves. No matter what they said, what she said, what's done, what isn't done. Let's get in trouble for living right, not for gossip, not for being ugly, not for backbiting, not for talking about past hurts. When you did this, I did that 15 years ago, man. Well, you still bring it up. Well, Pastor Bronk did this 15 years ago. Oh, 15 years ago he did it, and you're still talking about it. There's a but in your life. I've been offended at Pastor Bronk before. It lasted 5 minutes, and then I got over me. You with me on that? I thought he offended me on purpose, but then I got over me. If you offend me, it's because I let you offend me. It's because you hold the peace to my life if you offend me. You are my daddy if I let you offend me. But the more I know Christ, the more I spend in my room, uttering those tongues of fire here in the book of 1 John, the book of Romans, it's easier and easier and easier to forgive and not to hold on to a grudge. If you offend me, you have become my master. But if you utter words that try to offend and they don't faze me, I'm arriving to fatherhood. Are you with me? If you utter words that want to hurt me and it doesn't bother me, I've arrived at fatherhood in the spirit. What time? Thank you so much. By the way, I tell them to tell me that. That's Corey telling me too. Are you with me on this? No entitlements. No attachments. We want to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, in the kingdom, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. Listen to this. And the dead are raised. That, you won't find that in a denomination. But that is a true gospel. If you don't believe me, read it. Too many people have died way too premature. Church, we are the light of the world. We are the city set on a hill. The love that we're asked, no, I'm sorry. We're not asked to walk in this love. We're commanded. We're commanded to keep his commandments. No attachments. An entitlement is you think you have the fact that you have the right to something. That's an entitlement. For a fact, I don't have to forgive him. I don't have to forgive her. Yes, you do. You want your prayers answered? You better learn real quick to forgive. And don't go utter what they did to you to your husband or to your wife. That is called murmuring and backbiting. He that covers a transgression seeks love. He that repeats a matter separates very friends. Love covers a multitude of sin. Beloved, let us love one another, agape one another, a God kind of love to each other. Not a humanistic love that loves when we're loved or that loves when that person deserves to be loved. I didn't deserve to be loved 30 years ago. I was a pervert, man, on crack, storing coke. Verbally abusing my wife. You don't know the things I did to her. But Christ took me. He took me, Celine. He took me as I was. I bowed my knees, Celine, on my bed. And I cried out to God. I said, God, forgive me of my sin. And I cried for 3 days. And I rose up out of that bed, Celine. A new person. Washed in the blood of Christ. And loving is getting so much easier. And easier. And easier. It is the way of the kingdom. This love is only lived out by a surrender of our life to Christ. If you say you forgive, if you say you have ought, there's a but behind that forgiveness or ought. Don't deceive yourself. You have not forgiven. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. For one that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. I often say, I said, Lord, take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Titus chapter 3 says, speak evil of no man. Of no man. Christ is our prototype, our example. No ifs, ands, buts about it. He is the King of the kingdom. If we're going to see a kingdom outpouring or revival, love, agape love, keeping the commandments of God is how we're commanded to live. Amen. Everyone bow your heads with me, please. Pretty please. Marty, can you put on "Where Would I Be You Only Know," please, Marty, if you can find it, or something similar to that. Father, every head bowed, every eye closed. Anyone here tonight, today, this morning, they've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you've stepped away and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, now's your time, now's your day, with no one looking around. You feel that tugging on your heart. You only know. If you feel him calling you, I'm glad you home. See. Listen to the words of these songs first. Listen. Listen carefully, I beg you. A hopeless case. A little bit more, Mark. A little bit more. An empty place. Listen carefully. If not for grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Listen to this. Listen right now. Listen.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace.
Hallelujah.
A hopeless place.
With no one looking around.
An empty place.
Some hearts being pricked right now.
If not for grace.
Not going to embarrass no one.
I could say that tonight. A hopeless
no one looking
case.
Around, please.
An empty place.
I'm going to ask if that's you today.
If you only know.
Turn out a little bit more, a little bit.
I'm glad you see.
You ready to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ or rededicate your life to him?
Eyes of love,
now's your moment. No one's looking, no one's laughing. We all want in the kingdom with us. God will take you as you are.
If not,
I don't care how many mistakes you've made. The blood of Christ will wash you clean. Young man, young woman, whoever you are, I'm going to ask that you just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. I'm not going to make you say nothing. Recommit your life to Christ.
Want
to make the confession of faith to give your life to Christ. Today's your day, man. Don't wait. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to you. It's no guarantee. Christ wants to come live inside of you. If you're not sure about yourself, just lift up your hand and say, I want to recommit my life to Christ, Homer. You've never given your life to Christ. Right now's your time. Anyone in here, I'll wait a little bit longer. Christ is calling you home. He'll take you as you are. He took me as I was. He will take you as you are, friends. We don't need your money in this church. You don't have to join our church. Just join the kingdom by being born again. If that's you today, we're going to pray this prayer corporately. If we would, body of Christ, let's pray this. Say, Father God, I come to you today. A sinner. I cry. I remember the day I ordered that prayer in my house. I bowed my knee and I just cry. Because he came and forgave me all my sin. Say, Father, I come to you a sinner. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of God. In you, Lord Jesus, I have forgiveness of all my sin. Jesus, you are the salvation of God. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. Wash me with your blood. Lord Jesus, I used to be in love with you. I've slipped, Lord. I've gone backwards. But Lord Jesus, forgive me of my backsliding ways. I repent, Lord, of my sin. I know you'll take me back because you are love and you are forgiveness. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my sin, for washing me of all my guilt. Today, Father, I make a commitment to you to pray and read my Bible. In your name I ask, Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to have Ms. Gay come up and give a little. We're done already with. If you have an offering, it's in the back, right, Ms. Gay? The offering's in the bag just as you walk out. Trust me, this is good ground to sow your seed. Every penny is spent wisely, every single penny. We have a pastor of much integrity. But I do believe at the memorial service, people are here today for the memorial service. And I believe seeds were sown that day. People are here because of that memorial service. Ms. Kay is going to give us some instruction here for a few minutes. And after she gives us the instruction, Marty, if you got a nice praise song so we can go out of here with some energy, maybe some Hezekiah Walker or something, put some in our day. As Ms. Gay shares real quick some follow-up on decisions that might have been made. So just listen to her briefly, and then Marty, get that song ready before we go home. Let's give God one good praise song today before we leave. Can we do that? And Ms. Gay, come on up, please.
Oh, he's right there.
If you made that decision today for the first time, asking Jesus into your heart, on Bronc Flint Ministries, if you look that up online, there are some lessons there called discipleship training that you can look at that are going to tell you what happened to you today. and give you further instructions. So if you have any questions about that, you can ask Harry after church, and he'll walk you through it, where to find it online. Okay? Praise God. We're so happy for you. Part of the family of God. You're now brothers and sisters in Christ, and we welcome you in. Hallelujah. Let's praise God together.